If you text Press Row to 727272, you get a free one-night game rental from Redbox. You know, video games are super fun and they're super expensive. And once you bust open that plastic, you're stuck with them. And that's why Redbox lets you try out the hottest new games risk-free. Right now, you can rent Middle Earth, Shadow of War, Destiny 2, NBA 2K18, and more. So just text Press Row to 727272 for a free one-night game rental. Redbox, the smarter way to watch and play. The offer expires December 31st, 2017, subject to additional terms. Charges apply for additional nights. Payment card required. If you're not in Text Club, Redbox will send you an additional text with an invite to join their recurring alerts. Message and data rates may apply. For terms, visit redbox.com/textclub. And for the privacy policy, visit redbox.com/privacy.
This episode of the Press Row Podcast is also brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 18, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, and MLB Manager 2017. Every single Wednesday night is Out of the Park night around the world. We're at 8 p.m. Eastern. Our man Snaggle J does an hour of Out of the Park 18, followed by 9 p.m. TJ Lyman, that sports gamer, live streaming an hour of Out of the Park 18, and followed up at 10 p.m. Eastern with Jeff and Adam doing Franchise Hockey Manager 4 stuff. It's 3 hours every Wednesday of all kinds of great Out of the Park Developments content. And if you're not able to be there live on Wednesday nights, that's fine, because we archive everything to our YouTube page. So Wednesday night, starting at 8 p.m. on twitch.tv/OOTP Developments, 8 p.m., 9 p.m., and 10 p.m. with 2 hours of Out of the Park 18 and 1 hour of Franchise Hockey Manager 4. And then every day after that, backed up to our youtube.com/OOTP Developments. Check it all out. We have a lot of fun. We have a great community. You can learn a lot about our games, and you can see some other interesting ways to play them too. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Press Row Podcast. You know, we've gone a couple months now of shows where we've done reviews, we've done interviews, we've done kind of roundtable discussions on focused topics. So I think right now what I wanted to get back to after just a long time away from it was just a discussion of the latest news, because we've got some. We've got news on upcoming games and we've got a new console. I am Brian Weedy, Pasta Padre. Rich Grisham is here with me. Rich, what have you been up to lately, man?
What's happening, Brian? It's good to be back on the show with you. Our lawyers, our legal team, they've come to an agreement, and we're back to being okay working together. So I'm happy about that, first of all.
We did have periods of suspensions, right? We've both been banished from the podcast.
Yep.
And, you know, we just have to figure out a way to work together.
Just got to move forward. Well, last week we had one of my favorite episodes of the year, which was a racing roundtable. And there's a lot of great racing games. And if you missed it for whatever reason, go back and listen to it, because Greg Seward and Dr. Ken Parker and Pete Dodd are all great. But one of the things that I committed to doing at the end of that was to try an F1 game, because for years, both Greg Seward and Dr. Ken have been raving about the quality of the F1 games. And I'm a big racing fan, but because I have zero knowledge of, or, you know, interest in, and not to be smarmy, I'm just not interested in Formula One racing, right? I'm not really interested in any kind of real life racing. I just like racing games. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I just thought it was going to be too much of a barrier to entry, but I committed to Dr. Ken that I would try it. And I actually did, but I have the Xbox Games Pass, and one of the games available through that is F1 2015. And so this week I play that. And Brian, that is a great racing game. Hmm. Great. And I asked the question, the reason that I said, yes, sure, I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot is, you know, I asked both Dr. Ken and Greg, I was like, do you need to know anything about F1 racing to just jump in and start racing? Because, like, I love Forza 7 because it's really well structured to just hop in, start racing, and in 30 to 45 minutes, race a few times and get something for your time. And I just really enjoy it. And, of course, Forza, you know, 7 looks great, race is great, and so on. So anyway, I jumped into F1, downloaded it through the Games Pass, F1 2015. So this is a couple of years ago. This is not the newest one. And basically just started what one of the options was, like a shortened – it's basically like, you know, do a championship, but the races are shortened, but they're not short. And basically, over the course of 45 minutes, you're able to go to a track. You're able to practice on the track for 15 minutes, and then you're given a single lap to qualify, and then you race. And the whole thing takes about 40 to 50 minutes. And I got to tell you, the actual racing on the track is unbelievably good. These guys were right. This is a really, really strong racing game. And so I've only played three races, right? So I played basically three 45 to 50 minute sessions. And I of F1 2015 again, you know, a couple of years old, and I've really, really enjoyed it. I also enjoy the structure where it's like, okay, we're going to get a little time to learn the track and sort of get your times and understand it, and then you qualify and then you go. And the races, the way I'm playing it, are set where you have to pit at least once. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, like 15 or 16 laps. So you're going for a while. You know, Forza races, you know, it's like three laps. And, you know, most racing games like 3 hours. This is like 14, 15. So you're going for 20 minutes. And thankfully, it's not as obvious or I think as big a part of the game as Rewind is in Forza. But there is the ability to do a quick flashback when bad things happen. Because I tell you, when you've been racing for like, you know, 14 laps, and somebody hits you on a corner of like the second to last lap and sends you spinning off into the distance. If they weren't that flashback, which I said, it's kind of buried, but it's in there, you know, and it'll back you up like 10 seconds. That's helpful too. But it's just great. I mean, I can't say enough good things about the limited, again, limited time, but the racing is really, really strong. So I'm glad that I'm playing it. I'm going to keep playing it. And at a certain point in time, I'm sure I'm going to pick up F1 2017 because it's the new one and it's getting great reviews and might just be a really nice racing game to start playing again in a few months. But for the meantime, I'm going to keep cutting my teeth on F1 2015.
Yeah. You know, we're right around the corner from Black Friday, too. So, I mean, any game you're going to take a chance on or that maybe traditionally you wouldn't have bought at the full $60, that's got to be an option coming up also.
For sure. For sure. So that's one. Keeping with the racing theme, I didn't really talk about it last week, is I'm dabbling in Need for Speed Payback through EA Access now on the Xbox One.
Yeah, now I've read reviews on that, and it's reviewing poorly.
Well, the problem, my problem with it is that it's not Forza 7 or F1, which are both great.
It's not supposed to be, though. It's a totally different type of racing.
Agreed.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, like, when I'm playing it, Need for Speed Payback, it just reminds me that I'd rather be playing Forza 7 or F1. Mm-hmm. I understand what they're going for, and you know me, Brian. I am a fan of this series.
You like
a documented fan. I did, and I liked ones before it. Like, Need for Speed, as far as a fun arcade racing franchise, there's a lot of great hits in its history, and this may become something good. But I mean, I've only dabbled again like an hour, 90 minutes, but I'm not really interested in it. And I'm glad that, you know, something like EA Access gives me the chance to dabble in stuff and in some cases make me realize and buy, and in other cases be like, good, you know, glad I got to try that out. I'm not going to buy it, and it'll be in the vault in 6 months anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you a good opportunity to get a feel for it and make a purchase decision, decide what is the value to you. Is it immediate or can you wait on it? And that's really the type of game that I think you could easily wait on when I look at options in EA Access. But also, on a side note, EA Access, you bring it up. It sounds like that could be coming to PS4 in the near future. So I know it's been a huge selling point for Xbox One, and it's something that we've leaned towards as one reason why we either start to play the games on there or have switched to playing the games over there completely. So that's good news there for people who don't have the opportunity to play a game like Need for Speed Payback before they go out and buy it or just completely decide to pass on it without trying.
I don't know any of the financial details, obviously, but I can't think of any reason why Sony would not want EA Access to be on their platform.
Well, so, it was the original reasoning everybody assumed was that they didn't want it competing with their PlayStation Now service, correct?
I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't know that they ever gave a reason. I mean, well, it's not like I'm well-versed in the history. Yeah, but
they gave a reason, but it was a bogus reason. They said they didn't believe it offered PlayStation gamers value, which, of course, we know is completely untrue.
Right, and that's my point. Like, and again, I don't profess to be a knowledge historically of it. It just continues to make no sense to me why Sony wouldn't offer EA Access. Again, right. I'm sure they have their reasons, but it's been a big boom for Electronic Arts, so I'm sure they would want to have it on the PlayStation 4 platform. It could only increase their revenues, in particular because it's there are more PlayStation 4s out there in use than Xbox Ones. Right, so yeah. It's I'll be not surprised the day that they announce it. I'm just surprised every day that it's not announced, because from where I'm sitting, I can't see it making anything but sense for both parties.
No, absolutely, and I think EA has wanted it on there all along, and it's proven to be a success. We don't really know the exact numbers on it. It continues to grow, and its influence continues to grow, but all the kind of doomsday scenarios that were brought up when it was first introduced have not come to pass, and it's ended up being arguably the best value in all of video games.
So, hey, the new Battlefront 2, I can now play it on the Xbox One on EA Access. I just saw it's like available now. That's great, and don't come out for a week, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. What do they restrict you at all on that? I'm guessing that.
Oh, I just found out. I don't know. I just, saw the tweet or something that it was now available on EA Access. I haven't even gone to download it yet.
I bet they don't restrict you from spending money on loot crates, Rich.
Yeah, see, I've barely tracked it because I don't really, I have learned to just wait and try these things myself before forming opinions based upon blog reports and such. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it a shot. I love Battlefront.
Is that one? Maybe it is. But are there any games upcoming here that you're going to buy just sight unseen, essentially?
I don't think so. I mean, name some of them, right? I'm going to get 10 hours of Battlefront 2, right? So I'm going to try that. I mean, I've got all the games that I want. I have Mario Odyssey. That's spectacular on the Switch. I don't think there's anything else coming on the Switch that I'm going to get. Mm. I'm not saying I'm not going to get any. I'm just not aware of the I'm not getting the Call of Duties or any of those. So I'm happy with what I got. And, I'm going to get NBA 2K very soon. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a whole new thing for me because I haven't played that. So I got plenty on the plate there. But that does bring to mind the one last thing I wanted to talk about that I'm playing, which is Pro Evo. Mm. I wanted to mention, Brian, so if you recall, my history with soccer games is pretty well documented on this show. So about three or four years ago, I really started to play FIFA and documented my trials and tribulations with Everton playing a campaign in the Premier League. And if you recall, I was in the relegation zone virtually the entire season and only got out at the last couple of games. Like, that's how bad I was at FIFA. And then over the years, I've played much more Pro Evolution than FIFA. And I went from, really just struggling with Pro Evo a couple of years ago. And then last year, over the course of three campaigns, being able to turn Everton into a Premier League champion. Now this year I'm playing it and I'm only halfway through my first season and I'm already well ahead in the Premier League. I'm just so much better now and I'm playing on professional, which is what I've always played on. And yes, the team that I put together is better. I've added a few players, but it's not like I'm playing with a super club like Barcelona or Real Madrid or Bayern Munich or anyone like that or PSG. I'm just dominating. So I've got an interesting thing. What do I do? Do I up the difficulty? Because it's not like I'm winning games 8-0 or anything like that. I'm just winning games 3-1 or 2-0 over and over and over again. It's really wonderful to play, and I'm just concerned that if I up it, to a higher level of difficulty, it'll be such a dramatic change.
Yeah, it can be frustrating, or all of a sudden you won't be able to score. Like there is always that difficulty in finding the right balance, right? And that's what they what developers tend to go for. They try to, like with Madden, it's all pro is essentially what the game is built around, and then they tweak from there. And then you hope for the average to above average gamer that they fit within that kind of mold. And then you tweak the other ones to try and suit everybody on the outside of that. But yeah, it is difficult to determine where you're going to play because I mean, I want to be challenged, but I don't want to be frustrated. And sometimes you're stuck in between. And I don't like things like in the show. I don't care for its dynamic difficulty because I think as you get better, that should be reflected instead of the game continually making it harder on you. And so I don't know. It's not really I don't really see a perfect answer for that. But I absolutely understand where you're sitting as far as do you make a change and affect how much you might be enjoying it to try and give you the more realistic experience, I guess.
And it's also not as if I can't go have FIFA beat me very easily, because the better I get at Pro Evo, the worse I get at FIFA. I'm terrible at FIFA on the Switch. I mean, legit terrible. So I cannot score on the Switch.
Do you have any idea why that is?
No, I have no idea. And well, I mean,
because you're using the same control scheme, right?
Same control scheme. I mean, part of me just says that's because I've just played so much of Pro Evolution superior gameplay that FIFA I can't connect to it the same way. And that's really what it comes down to. To me, the way that FIFA plays, I've I don't want to sound like hyperbolic, but I've really developed the fundamental understanding of, at least at the level that I'm playing, how to maintain possession in significant amounts that lead to buildups and attacks that lead to goals. Like things that conceptually I do now, 2 years ago, there's no way I would have even known what that meant or how to execute it. You know, I've just played so much of it. And in FIFA, I don't have any sense of that. Like I can't do anything. I can't maintain possession. I can't convert two or three or four and five passes in a row consistently. I can't drive down deep into the corner and then find a good angle to make a crossing pass to hit somebody. But the other thing is, too, you know, what's interesting is the Everton that I have in Pro Evolution is not the Everton that I have in FIFA, because whenever I'm playing FIFA, it's always connected live to the latest version of Everton. And they're terrible this year. They're just terrible. They're like right one or two points just above the relegation zone so far. It's been a disaster. Their coach has been fired. Or shall I say, their manager has been sacked. I need to speak in the proper lingo. And but on Pro Evolution, I've still got a Romelu Lukaku on the club and a whole bunch of other players. And Lukaku, for those who don't know, is one of the top goal scorers in the Premier League, who played for Everton for the last 3 or 4 years and then got out, went to Manchester United. So I've got him. And so it's also a very different team. But I can't figure out FIFA control wise and I don't play it enough to really get it, because again, I've dabbled with it on EA Access and I played it on the Switch, and I don't play it nearly as much as I play Pro Evolution. So, but if long story short, or short story long, if I want to have a challenge, FIFA challenges me every single time I play it.
The question is if that's the type of challenge you want.
You're right, that's the question.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, we're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsor this week, Redbox. You know, everybody knows that Redbox is about renting movies and video games for cheap. But did you know that Redbox also sells used games starting as low as $4.99? So for the price of one of those extra large caramel frap, double espresso, no foam, two foam drinkity drinks that you love, and you know you do, you could start the most legendary game night tradition ever, playing your hearts out all the way up till bedtime for way less than you'd pay in store. You can keep your kids quietly entertained all month long. I know something about that. So that you can practice that extremely complex and extremely painful yoga pose and get it down to perfection so that you can impress your entire class with your superhuman flexibility. Yeah, of course, because that's what I do. That's right. Buying games for Redbox is a way cheaper option, and this time you keep them forever. So right now, Doom, Dark Souls 3, Madden NFL 17 are all for sale. So head over to the box and do game night on the cheap. Redbox, the smarter way to watch and play.
So is that all you got?
That is all I got.
Oh, no. So it's on to me, huh?
On to you, Mr. Xbox One X.
Yeah, so that's where my time has been. I mean, it was just this week. Amazon delivered my Xbox One X a day early. Which is pretty neat. But it took, you know, that day I started testing things like game installs. So I didn't really play a whole lot that first day. Except for a little Madden, and then I got a little more into some other games. And I have breakdowns. I haven't completely finished my impressions of the sports games on Xbox One X yet. But I have a good idea of them. I've documented now the loading times, which we'll get into. And then I can tell you right off the bat also which sports game has been improved by the Xbox One X the most. And it seems to be a consensus out there from several other people who have sent me tweets about their impressions of that game and of some of the others. So that's kind of neat. I didn't expect, I expected the visuals. Obviously, you're going up to 4K, you're going up to HDR. That's a big difference. It's, for most people, it's not a $500 difference.
Do you have all that stuff? Like, yeah. you have whatever you just said?
I do.
Okay. Because I don't.
Well, Rich, come on. I mean, with the times, you're going to have to sooner and later. 4K yes. TVs with HDR, very reasonably priced these days. They keep going down, and, eventually, the next TV you get, don't go for a 1080p. Nobody's doing that anymore.
Okay. Good to know.
You contact me, Rich.
I'm not joking. I absolutely will contact you because you know exactly what you're talking about.
I spend too much time researching this stuff even when I'm not in the market to buy it. Like I start planning out and looking for deals even when I'm not ready to buy anything. It's ridiculous.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Smart man.
So I did. I prepared in advance. What is it? Maybe 3 or 4 months ago I got my 4K TV. So,
what'd you get? What kind?
It's a Samsung.
Okay. They're the best.
I would say so. It's you pay a little more for a Samsung. There are some really good 4K HDR TVs out now from I hesitate to say off brands, but like TCL, who have really improved their quality in recent years, have some spectacular ones. Because you're also not just getting whatever 4K HDR TV you want. You also have to consider the input lag, as far as it relates to video games and playing on game mode and the differences there. So if you're heavily gaming on a 4K HDR TV, you need to also look at refresh rate. That's what it is.
And do those TVs come with Netflix and YouTube built into them as well? Like, is that just standard now on every television you buy?
Yeah, pretty much. I know that's how I watch it, because the only way... Currently, the only way like you can watch 4K content on Netflix is through the built-in app. So you can't pull up like on your original Xbox One Netflix and watch 4K on a 4K TV.
My OG Xbox One, day one edition.
That's what I had too. Yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty neat. I mean, there's still limited 4K content. Every new Netflix show is in 4K. So that's really nice, and you can get, of course, the 4K. One of the biggest benefits of this machine versus the PS4 Pro is that you get the 4K Blu-ray player inside of it. So that's something I'm looking forward to also, getting some of the upcoming movies here. So let's talk about what the Xbox One X has done, Rich. Yeah, go ahead and shoot me some questions if you want. I've only been playing for a few days, but I've definitely noted the differences I've been seeing, and the games I've been testing, which were Madden, FIFA, NBA 2K, and Forza 7 and Forza Horizon 3. Those are the five that I really went into so far.
And the last two are the ones that I want to know the most about, because I love Forza 7 and I love Forza Horizon. I mean, I love Forza and I love Forza Horizon. So talk to me about Forza 7, because that's I didn't mention it earlier, but I'm still and continue to play that game because I love that game.
Yeah. So Forza 7, I think the biggest impact, obviously you're getting, that is a game that has the 4K and HDR upgrade. Not every game that you play on the Xbox One X, I'm going to get tired of saying that. Not every game that you play on it will have the 4K and HDR capability. The developers have to patch that in. And so we've had a lot of the Xbox One X enhancement patches in recent weeks. Forza 7, obviously, yeah, that's gone to 4K, that's gone to HDR. This is Microsoft's game right now. So besides the visuals that look obviously spectacular, loading times was something I wanted to focus on, because Forza 7, extensive loading times. This is a game where, unlike Horizon 3, where you're playing a lot within an open world, this is more race to race, right, Rich?
100%.
Yeah, you're loading in, you're loading out.
Which I love.
Yes, as far as structure goes, it makes it much more simple. But it means more loading periods. And so in Forza 7, just the boot up to the menu, loading times cut that by 23% from a minute to 46 seconds. Decent. Not great, but decent. From getting from that menu into your saved career, into your first race, as far as, okay, you're actually accelerating now, cut by 28%, went from over a minute and a half to 68 seconds. So again, not huge, but I think over the course of time, you start to notice those things.
Sure, yeah.
The game looks great. I mean, it's hard to kind of define how much better it looks, because it already looked great. Obviously, the HDR is going to give you the more dramatic colors, the brighter colors and the darker blacks. It's just the contrast of that is much, much more emphasized through the HDR. And the 4K, obviously, everything looked great before, looks even greater now. I'm not sure really how to go into what that means. But it's a great looking game.
I mean, that's another question I have just in general, is would I notice the difference if I got an Xbox One X and got a 4K TV? Would I be like, whoa, me? Because I'm not a super audiophile / videophile when it comes to electronics.
You would notice it, but I don't think it would be like you were blown away. You know, it's tough to determine that for someone else, but when I look at it, I'm like, yeah, wow, that looks really good. I would not have paid $500 just to look a little better, you know? But it's definitely something you recognize, but it's not like you're making a generational jump. It's making what's already looked good just look a little bit better. And I posted this is not the best way to determine the difference, but I posted a 4K screenshot I took, a 4K HDR screenshot I took of LeBron James from NBA 2K18, and put that next to a non-HDR 1080p screenshot that I took. Because right in the Xbox One X, you can change your display output. So I just flip back and forth, and then you can capture 4K HDR, both screenshots and videos, internally using an external hard drive. It's the game DVR internally, but it saves to your external hard drive. So it's pretty dramatic difference as far as the lighting, the coloring, and obviously you can zoom in to a much greater degree with the 4K. But when you're playing the game, yeah, you'll notice it looks great, but you're probably not gonna. It's not like you're going from PS2 to PS3.
Well, you know, and that's one of the challenges that I have. I hope that this console sells well. I think I'm going to get one, but I still don't have a PS4 Pro. And, you know, I've been just dragging my heels on getting a new television. Like, I just, in most years past, this sort of combination, I would have said, all right, that's it. I'm getting myself a 4K TV, mm-hmm. and I'm getting myself an Xbox One X. But
it's a big investment.
And the truth of it is, right now, I don't consume a lot of – I don't watch my television pretty much at all anymore, except for when live sports is on or when I'm playing games. And it doesn't there's not nearly as much use I would get out of it as I would have in years past. I don't watch a lot of movies or TV shows on my TV. I wind up watching those sort of on the go on my phone or my tablet or stuff like that, like when I'm exercising. So that's the other reason. But I really want to feel compelled to get this combination. So what I mean, you mentioned obviously the speed, but like what are some other things that conversely, like just very positive, like what are some things that you're like, yes, the Xbox One X is really good at doing this better than anything I've ever seen before.
So yeah, I'll give you the big one, and it relates to Madden. It's the frame rate. So the Xbox One X can lock in 60 frames per second. You're not going to see any drop. It's completely fluid. Of course, if the game is capable of it, and Madden is. And so the frame rate was the very first thing I noticed when I started up Madden. The very first pre-game scene, I could tell it was just flowing much more smoothly, and it stayed that way. And now, I'm not saying that the PS4, the original Xbox One, and PS4 Pro are riddled with frame rate issues, but when you see the fluidity, and I tried to post a video of it, and I think it's noticeable, and I have a 4K video that's been processing on YouTube for over a day now and still hasn't rendered to 4K yet. So I'm waiting to see if that ever happens. But you could see it. It was just very fluid, even just in the opening scenes with the intros and everything. But it also carried over a little bit to on the field where, and I don't know if it's just hopeful on my part, but it felt like the game was slightly more responsive because of that also while I was playing. But you definitely notice it on the cutscenes and in, you know, just the way the game kind of looks much more natural. There's no jumpiness to it at all, even in cutscenes where it didn't really matter, but you can definitely see the difference if you put it up next to one or the other. So I think it's the frame rate, Rich, which is the biggest difference. And from what I've heard from other people, there are frame rate issues with the PS4 Pro. So this seems to be pretty unique to the Xbox One X that Madden is running so smoothly. The other games I played, I did not notice any difference in terms of frame rate, but they may have been locked in already. I always look at what games I'm playing. So Madden, FIFA, NBA 2K, let's say all three of those, for example. Madden is a little more technically intensive, I think, because you've got the number of players on the field are high, and they're all interacting kind of independently, but also as a group. The processing that required in that stadiums with 70,000 fans, it's just a lot for a system to handle. Maybe more so than a free flowing game like FIFA and NBA 2K. So I wonder if those other games were coming from a better place, and so the improvements weren't necessary or aren't as evident. Madden was coming from a place where it could actually use those improvements.
The file size, from what little I've seen, seemed to be massive. It comes with a 1 terabyte hard drive that probably isn't nearly enough to have more than a couple dozen games, right? If I got with this thing, I would get the Xbox Games Pass installed on there super fast and download all sorts of games. Is that hard drive an issue for you?
Well, no, not yet. I think it could be. But I also saw things like on sale, not that you should have to go out and spend more money, but there was a 4 terabyte USB 3.0 hard drive that would work great for it, and that was on sale for $80. And with Black Friday coming up again, you'll be able to get expanded storage if you want it at pretty good prices. But yeah, I mean, I think eventually that becomes an issue if you keep a lot of games on there. I don't. I came from a regular Xbox One I came close to the 500 gigs that on that hard drive of filling that up, but I never played so many games at the same time that I cared about it. I would just delete a different one that I was pretty much done with. But I know a lot of people out there pack their hard drives pretty full and reach that limit, and I'd imagine that'll happen again. But I mean, I think that's nitpicking. If you're getting a 1 terabyte hard drive, that's still pretty expansive.
Okay. So what are, other than the big sports games, anything else that you tried?
I have not. I have
noticed.
Not.
Okay.
I should. I mean, I can just pull up EA Access and try something else. But I'm not sure. I'll have to take a look at what games are enhanced already. Because I'm not sure which ones. I mean, there's a giant list. Some of them, like NHL, haven't received their patch yet. So right. There's a giant list of games that are going to be enhanced, and not all of them are ready for that quite yet.
Right.
So F1 2017 is on the list, but...
Is a version of it?
There is for Xbox One X, and it's out, but I don't think it's 4K. I mean, the range of what these games can receive are different also. So there's 4K, there's HDR. Some games get both, some games get one, some games have neither. So, for example, Madden, FIFA, NBA 2K are 4K and HDR. NBA 2K and NHL are only 4K. They don't have HDR capability. Which,
and those are two different things?
Yes. So the 4K is the resolution. 4K is the resolution. HDR is the high dynamic range, Rich, which is three words. That means something to people, but really it just means you're getting a much more dynamic as far as it's right there. That word's right there. The colors are going to pop a lot more, and they're going to contrast against each other in a much more natural way. And it looks brilliant. If you go into a store and see it, you see their demo units set up, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I believe it. I just don't know what it. I'm not hip to all that stuff, but I so here's a couple questions for you.
F1 2017 is 4K and HDR. So nice. That'd be a great one to get.
Nice. Yeah. How easy or difficult was it to get your identity established, your Xbox Live thing on there? Did you have to transfer anything? Can you use your original Xbox One and this one? Like, 'cause I got an Xbox One with a hard drive on it and 100 games, like, is it super easy to just pick one up and keep rolling, or it's, like, what do you have to do?
Yeah, there's some different methods. One is what I did, which was you take an external hard drive. I have a 1 terabyte external hard drive, and there are settings within the Xbox that allow you to transfer your settings as well as the game files. So you send that onto your external hard drive. Takes a while because it's those are big files being transferred, so that still took hours. And then with the new console, you boot it up and then you transfer all that into it. And so what it meant was I didn't have to re-download NBA 2K and its 50 gigs, you know. I transferred it over and it was all set and ready to go. So that was nice. Made it easy. I got my account right on there. They have a few different like security settings you can use on this now. But I don't know if that's specific to the Xbox One X or if it's the newest software.
Well, can you have two functioning Xbox Ones? Like, can I have my Xbox One X plugged into one television and my original Xbox One plugged into a different television, you know, in the bedroom or something? And just be able to hop on and use either one with my ID and my games? Or is it kind of like the 3DS or the 2DS where your name can only be associated with one of them, one individual machine?
That's a good question, because I wiped my other one once I was done with it. I do not know the answer to that. Why? Because I'm going to sell it.
Why would you do that? You should keep it, man. Don't get rid of consoles.
I barely play the Xbox One before I spent another $500 to buy another one. But no, I'm going to play the Xbox One X a lot now. But yeah, I don't have a need for that one, Rich. Why would I keep it? You're the crazy one who seems to collect these things.
I don't collect them, no. But consoles, I've only regretted giving away one console, and that was my Sega. Meaning I've never given away any of my other consoles. Well, actually, that's not true. I don't have any of my super early ones, but I've got every console I've bought from the like GameCube, PS1, and certainly the original Xbox era up. And I'm glad I still have them. Well, so it's not collecting. I just don't get rid of my old consoles, because the one that I did get rid of, I was so upset. Like later, I'm like, I'm not doing that again. It was a bad idea.
Well, I did keep my Xbox 360 and my PS3. I just don't see the need to have two Xbox Ones, Rich.
Right. But that, and that's, but I was thinking, the reason I was thinking is because of, it would be good to have one, you know, like in our bedroom, because we've got a couch in there. You can hang out, you know, in there sometimes.
Well, yeah. And, if you need it, you could also use that as you know, your Netflix player. And
yep. Exactly.
And things like that. Right? So, yeah. But no, like, I can see if that it would have use for some people. Just not for me. But yeah. So, I'm not sure where we were last. What were we talking about until we got off on that?
We're just continuing the Xbox One discussion.
Okay, so let me talk a little more about load times, because I think this is a big deal. I think it's a big deal because this really, you're seeing a dramatic cut. So those Forzas were nice, but you see a dramatic cut. And I go back to Madden being the one that I noticed the real improvements with, as far as more than just the visuals. But as far as frame rate goes, but it's also the one that benefited the most from the reduced loading time. So, you know how you go into a game of Madden, Rich, and you go, whether it's franchise or play now, and you hit, you know, you get past the all the option selecting, and you go, and then it goes, then you get stuck on a bunch of load screens, and then it leads into their intro and stuff. So, what used to take 70 seconds on the Xbox One, even if you skip as fast as you can to get through anything skippable, 70 seconds to get to your kickoff play selection on the Xbox One X takes 26 seconds.
Big.
That's 63% faster.
That's good.
So that is, when you consider, I would even look at, I didn't specifically test out Ultimate Team solo challenges, but I'd imagine it's similar. So the number of times people load into in and out of solo challenges in Ultimate Team, think, you know, hundreds, thousands over the months. Think about that. If you're shaving 60% of the load time off, so this that large margin there carried over to, you know, in franchise mode, Rich, when you see, okay, I got to do my training for the week. Do I really want to go in and do these offensive and defensive drills?
Nope.
What used to take 50 seconds now takes 20 seconds.
Very nice.
So you might actually be more apt to do it. same thing with like practice mode. Take over a minute. Xbox One X, 20 seconds, 67% cut. So those are huge. Now you're also saving a couple seconds when you load into just your saved franchise or your saved long shot. Just a couple seconds. So not really notable. But yeah, Madden got... Yeah, that's huge. And then it's initial boot to the main menu cut by 25%. So not as much as I thought would happen there. It takes about 50 seconds compared to 68 seconds, but still, it's worth noting. FIFA 18 also saw something big from loading into a game or into a match to your first action, to the kickoff, was... original Xbox One would take 34 seconds. Xbox One X takes just 14 seconds. You know how you go, you know how you go in and then you're like, okay, now I can take some shots on goal or whatever while I'm waiting for the load. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost instantaneously.
That's half.
Okay. You're ready to go.
Nice.
So,
that's great.
That's great. NBA 2K saw the least in terms of loading time reductions, but still fairly significant as far as loading into a game. You know how in NBA 2K, when you load into a game, they give you stuff that disguises the load times. They give you NBA 2K TV. They give you your pregame show with Ernie, Shaq, and Kenny. They give you National Anthem. You know, all this stuff to kind of hide that it's actually loading. What used to take 67 seconds, you can now skip through in 39 seconds. So that's 42%. Still pretty good. Again, considering how many times you load into a game, that's pretty good. I did not see much, if any, time savings on loading NBA 2K, but that one was already pretty fast. It also didn't improve things like loading into my career, which takes literally 2 minutes, or getting around and loading into things like the barbershop and stuff did not seem to improve that. But overall, you know, I'm pretty happy with what the Xbox One X has done with the loading times, because again, in sports games, maybe more so than the majority of genres, right? You're loading into things more often than probably those others. So I think it's important when you look at load times to say, man, over the year, how much time am I actually going to save? It's significant.
And so it's $500, right?
Yeah.
And what do you get? You get, obviously, the machine. Do you get two controllers, one controller?
You get one controller. You get one controller. Okay. You get an HDMI cable. And I think that's it. That's everything you need. Unlike the original Xbox One, no, you don't get a Kinect. Kinect is dead. Sorry, yep. Rich.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
You love Kinect.
Crazy person.
Yeah, so it's a tough sell, because I don't think it's not necessary that you have an Xbox One X, but I think that the people who are really passionate and spend a lot of time playing and care about the visual fidelity and everything really hardcore, I think they'll probably be pretty satisfied with it.
I want to get one.
Yeah.
And I won't be surprised if I do get one at some point, maybe even like for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel the absolute need. Like I could also see not getting one as well. And I think a lot of it hinges on whether I'm gonna get another television. I mean, I'm not in need of another television, but I also haven't gotten a new one in 4 to 5 years. Would be good to have a nice new gaming television that also had, you know, the smart TV stuff in it too. Like that.
Yeah. If it's been 4 to 5 years, Rich, something's gonna break real soon.
Well. Yeah, that's true. I mean, downstairs we have it, so I can't put up a monster one. But in my office, I can put up a pretty darn big one if I really want to. And in fact, one of the things that I was thinking about doing is putting up two, right? So I can have one playing a game and another one, you know, just watching a live game or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I got the idea from my buddy Mark Foley from the Dodcast, who has that whole setup. And he's, you know, talked about how it's totally improved his gaming and sports watching life. I'm like, well, that makes total sense. Two TVs is double double what you normally have, and you can do twice as much if you want to.
Yep. It's impressive. It's impressive, but again, it's a tough sell at $500. I think, you know,
it's a lot of money, man. Whew, that is a lot of money.
It is. I haven't bought a console though. I considered buying a Switch. I didn't end up doing it. I considered buying PS4 Pro. I didn't end up doing it. So it was a little bit more
You don't
easy.
Have Switch?
I don't. I borrow Dylan's sometimes, but if I got something I need to play, but there's just too few games on it for me. Oh, and I work from home, Rich, so I don't really have the need to take it anywhere.
I understand that. I don't take mine anywhere. I mean, it goes around the house, which is cool, but it doesn't really leave the house.
Yeah.
But it is nice to be able to take it around. It's like I have that hooked up to my television in the office, so when I want to play the TV version, it's easy. But then my son and I both will just take it right out and we'll bring it downstairs to the family room where either of us will play it in that mode. So it's portable, but for us, it's really only portable in the house because I don't want to take it out because nothing good will happen if it leaves the house, right? So I'm not taking it out of the house. I mean, I still got a 3DS. Or 2DS XL that I love for any sort of portable Nintendo gaming anyway. Yeah. So.
Well, I felt like this was, with the Xbox One X, was the biggest, kind of the most dramatic jump we've had in a lot of years. Again, I don't think it's something I had to have.
And right.
I probably think I shouldn't have bought it. Like, I don't play enough, but now that I have it, you know, that's where I'm going to play all my third-party games.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, the Xbox One Games Pass is fantastic.
I probably consider that now.
It's fantastic to just, I mean, I have dabbled in a bunch of games and I've also dove deep into a few franchises. I don't know if you and I have chatted about it, but when I first got the Games Pass, I wound up playing all of the Toy Soldiers games, all three of them. And all three are just tremendously great games and devoured those. And I played, right now I'm playing Sleeping Dogs through the Games Pass. There's a bunch of great stuff in there. There's a bunch of great arcade games. Like there's the Pac-Man compilations and all sorts of the old, you know, Galaga, Dig Dug, tons of old stuff. It reminds you too how terrific the Xbox 360 library is, because there's a lot of Xbox 360 games that are legit great on that platform, and a bunch of Xbox, you know, newer games too, not brand new, but certainly games that you could have easily missed. I'm a huge fan of the Xbox Games Pass. Huge fan.
Yep. I will check that out. So let's hit on some other news, Rich.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, did I forget, you're not a UFC guy though, right?
I'm not a UFC guy.
Yeah. So I am. I'm kind of in the middle. I was more into UFC. I feel like it kind of peaked a few years ago. But, I'm still very interested in the video game. I really enjoyed the UFC games going back to the THQ games. So the first EA Sports UFC was pretty weak. The second one was pretty good. Pretty good. They did a much better job, I think, respecting the sport and building the game out to please people who actually were going to play the game instead of trying to get people who were never going to buy a UFC game with gimmicks. So they did a better job with that. They had more content, bigger roster, and the KO mode was kind of cool, at least showing off their physics system. But things like its Ultimate Team was kind of a failure with the structure there for UFC 2. So we got the announcement of the new one, which is coming out at the end of January, which is kind of unusual to have a game release in January, especially a sports game. Well, most games avoid January.
Yeah, but you know, I'll tell you that. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say recently, like, oh my gosh, how could they release the game that week because of all these other great games coming out? At this point, there's so many games coming out and there's so much competition. To me, I'm like, okay, well, what's the time where you can release a game in a week or a month where it's not going up against another fantastic game like we've seen all fall? End of January sounds like a great time. I mean, it could wind up being a terrific idea. You know, you got a bunch of people that may have just gotten new consoles for the holidays, may have some gift cards and things like that. You know, who knows? Yeah. Could be that post-Christmas thing. Never know.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's good to spread things out. We have enough sports games that release within 5 weeks that I'd like seeing them in untraditional spots. So, yeah, we got that. We got the $80, and this is something we're going to talk about here in a minute, the release structure of these games continuing to go a certain way. But, yeah, I mean, the whole kind of selling point, Conor McGregor's on the cover, big shocker there. They're pushing in the career mode, they're pushing, obviously, with him in mind, a big emphasis on promoting your fights and a big emphasis on rivalries. So that the actual career mode could be compelling, and we've seen a lot of games kind of go away from the single-player career modes, but it sounds like it could be pretty interesting in UFC if they pull it off. And they got a bunch of technical stuff here as far as their motion system and damage system and fighter styles, which if you're interested in, check it out. I have the full feature details up on Pasta Padre. But I think there's a lot of potential here for UFC. I don't feel like there's the spark for it to be the big selling game that it was with THQ, and I think EA knows that now, so they're more invested in just creating the best game possible. I'm not certain on the licensing deal with UFC, but I believe it was a 3-release deal, so this game could kind of determine whether they go forward with the UFC more after this. It's a game, you know, we've seen drop, you know, sales drop with every subsequent release of UFC of a UFC game, so we'll see how this one holds up. But they're making a strong push, I think, because of the McGregor factor, because that's pretty much all they got to go on right now.
Well, I mean, that's why this is so fascinating to me, because I'm not going to play the game. I'm not a fan of UFC. I'm not, you know, it's not my thing. But that's okay. And what you said there at the end, I did not realize, because prior to what you said at the end, which is, you know, the basic, not assumption, but the working hypothesis is that this is the last game of a 3-game deal. Before you said that, I was going to say, well, to me, this proves that EA sees a market for this game. And that is people.
Well, I think they would either way, but I think they probably recognize it's a shrinking market. And that's why, just like the other games, they're making another adjustment with the Ultimate Team in UFC, which in the last one, it was all created fighters, and you were earning moves, essentially, moves and skill sets for those fighters through packs, which is just super boring. Like opening packs and, oh, I got a new kick. Well, that's great.
Right. Right.
That didn't do it for most people. So now they're bringing in the real life fighters, and then you're going to be improving on them. I'm not sure if that's going to really be compelling to people or not, but we'll see. Obviously, I think having the recognizable people in it, though, will help at least attract more to it.
Well, I don't think that it's hyperbole to say that if they don't get it right, I don't know that there'll be another UFC. We've talked about it both on this show and in a lot of different arenas about how live service enabled games are absolutely the thing that has to happen. And if UFC, which has some sort of a license, and I'm sure it's not cheap, can't figure out a way to earn revenue percentages in the ways that certainly not, I'm not talking in the dollar amounts, but at least in the percentages as, 50-50, 60-40, 70-30 of sales versus additional payments after the fact. They have to figure out something. Otherwise, I don't know that they'll be able to do it because, I mean, EA, just like Activision, just like Ubisoft, just like Take-Two and Ubisoft, both who have in the last couple of days, I believe, or the last week or so, both directly said from either the CEO, Strauss Zelnick, or one of the Ubisoft guys, like, all of our games are going to have, additional monetization post-launch. Like, that's just how every game is going to be made. And that's cool. I get it. I haven't talked about it in Games Beat this past week about Out of the Park Baseball, right? So everybody, there's nothing wrong with it. It's the way that you have to build your games nowadays for the most part, right? I don't want to make an absolute statement, but certainly when you have expensive licenses to pay, the old way of just selling units and getting no opportunity to continue to monetize the game is – that doesn't really work very much anymore. So, they got to figure it out with UFC, but it's good that another one is coming and hopefully they do figure it out. So,
and we'll learn a lot. We'll actually learn a lot later this month. Free beta coming up starts on November 27th. So we're already going to be playing UFC 3 later this month. That's pretty neat. We're going to get regular offline fights, some online fights, and let you play some Ultimate Team also. So we'll get a better idea of how that is going to shake out. So that's something to look forward to. The other piece of news I want to touch on is MLB The Show 18, which was officially announced. Now, we don't know a single thing about the game. They didn't tell us anything. But we do know its release structure, which is fairly unique, but kind of follows a trend that we've seen with EA and 2K. So in the last year or two, EA Sports has been letting you buy their games, the more expensive edition of the game. And one of the incentives to that is that you start playing 3 days before the people who spent just a normal $60 on the game. 2K has been letting you get the game 3 days early if you simply pre-order, so you're not actually having to pay more money for that. MLB The Show is falling somewhere in the middle, and that's they're letting you get the game 4 days early, so on the Friday before. So I guess that's technically what the other games have been doing anyway, 3 or 4 days, however you want to consider it, because these games release technically on the Monday nights, but they still advertise the Tuesdays. I don't know what's going on anymore with this, but they're letting you get it early, but so you don't have to pay extra to get it early, but you do have to buy from a certain place to get it early, Rich. So, and it's not a coincidence why certain retailers were left out of this. So if you buy the game, if you pre-order it from GameStop or digitally through the PlayStation Store, you can start playing the Friday before on March 23rd. Everywhere else, you'll start playing on March 27th. So the places where you can buy the game for cheaper, Amazon or Best Buy, you're out of luck. You're going to be waiting till the 27th if you want to actually get the savings on that. So that's unfortunate. They're pushing you to certain retailers that they're probably trying to please, but also if they can sell you the game digitally, they're making more money that way. So it's I just really hate everything that's happening with how with all these publishers, Rich. Like, well, the 2K model is the one that I approve of the most, because it's just going to – it's the people who want the game the most. They're not having to pay for the privilege to play it, quote-unquote, early, which is really not a privilege. All it's doing is punishing the people who only want to spend $60 on the product, Rich.
Couple things. Number one, if I'm running a business, I'm not going to necessarily pick a fight with Amazon.
Well, Nintendo did, and they're doing
that's,
okay.
Well, again, right? But they're not anymore.
Right.
They're good now. You know, when they picked a fight with Amazon, Amazon wasn't close to what it is now. And I, for whatever, I just, I don't know. To me, I'm not, I don't know anything about the details of this, but it's a pain not being able to get something from Amazon that I can get other places. That's just inconvenient, and it's one of the reasons I didn't get NBA 2K when it first launched, because I couldn't get it the way that I get all my other games.
Yeah.
Small thing, but you know, at least on an individual level, that's it. So I find that unfortunate. I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I think I just get MLB the regular way. It certainly seems like it. Like, I don't, since I don't really do Diamond Dynasty, I don't order the early edition for any of that stuff. And I'm usually so, yeah. So yeah, I'm pretty sure I've just gotten from Amazon MLB the Show release day version the last few years. I'm sure I'll do the same thing this year. To me, it's like similar to personal seat licenses. You know, which is the first time that I can remember that sort of concept of, well, you're just paying for the right to pay for this, right? And so it's similar to that. And look, all of these publishers who pay extraordinary sums of money just for the right to make the game before they even pay $1 to actually build the game have to figure this stuff out. It's just there's no way around it, so they do it. And, you know, give them credit. If they can find a way to do it that makes enough people happy, you know, you're never going to please everybody. But if you can find the right balance, they're going to, I'm sure every year it's going to be somewhat different, right? I mean, it feels like every year it's different. And so it's every year it's almost like, okay, well, how can we adjust this, or how can we position that, or what are the different tiers? You know, who are the different kinds of fans we want to go after? You know, it's really interesting to see how they do that.
Yep, so we got UFC coming up real soon, and we've got the show just a little farther out. But, you know, we're already talking about those games, and it's just early November, Rich. So, you know, it's funny, we go from, man, so many games are coming out all at the same time. They release, we play them for a little bit, and then it's like, oh, here comes the next wave. Which is fairly unusual for this early, because now we got UFC in there, as opposed to just really hearing about the show at this time of year. But
it's good.
It'll never stop.
It's like the Nintendo Switch. There was a new game every single month. Every single month. It's great. You know, to be able to spread it out just a little bit. You know, between this and the baseball, looking good.
Yep. So I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you, Rich Grisham from Out of the Park Developments, for joining me to discuss everything we just did. Xbox One X, UFC, MLB The Show 18. It's an interesting time. We're heading right into the, like I mentioned early in the show, we're coming up on Black Friday period, where we're going to, a lot of people who maybe don't have some of these sports games yet, going to have a good opportunity to get them at like 50% or more off. Which is great. We're going to have communities built up through that, and we'll be talking more about the games as we go, and identifying some of those opportunities coming up. So thank you everyone for listening in. Thank you, Rich. We'll be back with another episode of the Press Row Podcast next week. Till then, take care.
If you text Press Row to 727272, you get a free one-night game rental from Redbox. You know, video games are super fun, and they're super expensive. And once you bust open that plastic, you're stuck with them. And that's why Redbox lets you try out the hottest new games risk-free. Right now, you can rent Middle Earth, Shadow of War, Destiny 2, NBA 2K18, and more. So just text Press Row to 727272 for a free one-night game rental. Redbox, the smarter way to watch and play. The offer expires December 31st, 2017, subject to additional terms. Charges apply for additional nights. Payment card required. If you're not in text club, Redbox will send you an additional text with an invite to join their recurring alerts. Message and data rates may apply. For terms, visit redbox.com/textclub. And for the privacy policy, visit redbox.com/privacy.